ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Psst. Did you hear what Rob did at the corporate retreat?
Oh, what did Rob do? Rob may have done something wonderful at the retreat or something rather embarrassing. And there's no doubt, a piece of gossip can be a very powerful thing. But should you spread it around or keep it to yourself? Hello, I'm Lisa Leong and this is ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. I want you to reflect on this question. Do you gossip at work? What do you think about it? Now, I do want you to hold your answers lightly because the research shows that it's way more nuanced than you might initially think. Amy Gallo is a workplace expert. She's a contributing editor at the Harvard Business Review and the author of Getting Along, How to Work with Anyone. Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be back.
Amy, you've been in Australia this week visiting from the US. Do you have any gossip for me?
Oh, gosh. The US is full of gossip these days. I think if you call political chatter gossip, we've got a lot of it.
Well, this is a good point because when I was reflecting on how I personally feel about gossip at work and then I was looking at the gossip research, I actually think we have a definitional issue. So what's your working definition of workplace gossip?
It's when two people speak about a third person who is not present. Simple, straightforward.
That is way broader than I have in my head. I think that gossip is when you negatively talk about someone when they're not present.
And you're not alone. So many people think of gossip as this absolutely negative, almost sinful thing to do. And yet it's simply a conversation about someone who's not present. And so I think we bring all of this association. We're told not to gossip. We have religions, faiths that tell us this is a sin. We are taught by elders, don't gossip about your friends or certainly don't gossip about us. And so we show up to the workplace with this very negative view of what it means to talk about others. And yet we do it all the time.
In fact, there's an evolutionary basis for gossip. Can you talk us through that?
Yeah. In fact, Robin Dunbar, a researcher, has really talked about how language perhaps evolved so that we could gossip. It has so many benefits for us as humans. It advises us of danger that might be coming our way. It forms social bonds. It helps us establish norms about what our group does and doesn't do.
And why would we gossip at work?
So many reasons. First and foremost, to create bonds with our coworkers. We have information they don't have. We share that information and all of a sudden we're friends, or at least we trust one another. We might use it to make sense of uncertain news. When the CFO delivers a message at an all-staff meeting that we think, well, that was confusing, we go and gossip with our coworkers to figure out, what does that actually mean? How does that impact the work I need to do? We also do sometimes gossip to hurt reputations, to gain power. And that is a negative view, but sometimes people are outside the traditional power structures, and it's a way they gain status or even a little bit of power.
We're going to go deeper into harmful versus harmless or helpful gossip in just a moment, but I did throw out a post on LinkedIn and got a lot of feedback and a lot of thoughts on gossip. Now, this is what Lewis had to say.
I think gossip at work can work two ways. It can actually be a force for good if it's providing information for people that need to hear it. I think if the gossip makes somebody act like taking ownership of something or getting prepared for an important conversation, I think it can be really powerful. But the downside of gossip at work is when we apportion blame or make excuses for something or try to undermine someone just to get a reaction. Then I think we're in unproductive territory and it really doesn't help anybody. It might make the person spreading the gossip feel good for about 10 seconds, but that's about the extent of it.
Amy, what do you think about what Lewis had to say?
I think Lewis is spot on. There are a lot of benefits. We do it all the time. And we also use it sometimes to hurt people. And that part he said at the end about it feels good for about 10 seconds, I think most of us know that feeling where We've said something to someone we weren't sure is exactly the entire truth. We've maybe given it a sort of nefarious tint to it, and we walk away thinking, ooh, gosh, I hope that doesn't get back to that person. Or, ooh, I hope Lisa doesn't think poorly of me because I just gossiped about Lewis. And we have to remember that oftentimes we think when we're gossiping negatively about someone who's not there, that it reflects badly on them. And it sure does. But some of the research shows it reflects badly on you as the gossiper, because now you are not seen as someone who's entirely trustworthy. You might gossip about someone else. And that sort of chain reaction makes you look untrustworthy.
Can you go deeper for me, please, on some of these benefits or upsides of workplace gossip? I feel like I still need to be convinced of it.
Again, you're not alone. First, let's reestablish, right? Everyone does it. The reality is most gossip at work is neutral. Right, I heard the leadership is going to make this decision later this week, or I heard our boss is not feeling well. That may explain why they were a little short in that meeting. Right, that is sort of neutral gossip that helps us make sense of what's going on in our world as the workplace, and that is really, really useful. Because if you work in a vacuum, you don't get information from people about others who aren't there, you can't do your job. So it's an important function in actually doing the tasks you need to do. There's also some research that shows it reduces stress because it reduces that uncertainty. So if you and I are making sense of CFO's sort of vague message, I feel less stressed because I think, well, Lisa gave me some important information. Now I get it a little bit better. And we're in it together. We were both confused. I'm not alone. The other, you know, positives are that when the gossip is positive, think of it as sponsorship. So if you and I are in a room and I'm telling you how our friend Michelle is amazing at what she does, you should have seen her in this meeting. I wish I could be as smart and as eloquent as she is. That helps boost her reputation and, again, establishes a norm with you and I that eloquence, smarts, is valued here.
And in this case, you're putting that in the bucket of gossip. Other people might put it into a different bucket. But for our purposes here, that's all in academic research seen as gossip.
Exactly. And remember, there's also a gender component. And I think that's really important because we see two people talk about someone who's not there. How we portray that, whether it's just chatter or strategic banter or
intel.
Gossip. Exactly. Intel often depends on the identity of those two people. And when two women chat, we often see it as gossip. Whereas when two men chat, we might see it as exchanging important information. So we have to remember we're bringing our own bias to that definition. And I, for one, would love to destigmatize this word and really bring it to its reality, which is that it's mostly neutral positive. And yes, of course, it can be used negatively, but that's not always the intention behind it.
Let's go into negatives then. What are some of the downsides?
This is probably what most people have in mind when they think of the downsides. It was what Lewis just referred to, right? It's the damage of reputation. It's the false information. It can leave people out in a way. If we see information as power, it can put people outside that power dynamic in a negative way. The real issue for leaders in an organization and why so many of them dislike gossip is because it also gives people the ability to influence things that they don't necessarily have the structural power to influence. So the direction the organization goes in, the motivation or morale of their team. And I often think of some of those negatives as not quite negative because I think people are hoarding power in ways that aren't always beneficial to the organization, but it can be destructive, especially if you're trying to make a major change in an organization and people are undermining it. Or if you are someone who, you know, had made a tough decision or stood up to someone and people are painting that as a negative when actually it has benefit for the organization. So, there are negatives. And again, I think that's where people go to when they think of it. I'd prefer people think, what are the positives first, sort of change that stigma. And then, of course, we want to be careful that we don't incur the risks and the damages.
Amy, we received this voice memo from Ben. He says personal gossip can create a toxic environment. Let's hear what else he had to say.
Gossip only works positively when management is actually transparent with their people. And this extends from everyone, from middle managers to executives. Without that level of openness, even harmless information sharing type of gossip can backfire. The takeaway is this: if leaders communicated better, we'd probably end up gossiping a lot less.
Amy.
100% agree. And my advice to leaders when they come to me and say, I'm planning to ban gossip, I say, well, first, you have to establish a feedback-rich culture. Are you telling them the things they need to know? Are you crystal clear about what the objectives are, the targets of the organization, your expectations of people? Because there's no way to ban gossip unless you have that transparency.
White people try and ban gossip? Really? Do they?
I have managers come to me and say, how do I do it? Right? And they'll establish these rules of
just silent walking everywhere at all times, please.
Yes, exactly. And it's laughable, but I think for managers it's a signal that they are just feel out of control. And to Ben's point, they're not making the right choices about what to be transparent about, how to be clear, and they may not know. And they can do all those things that Ben just described and that I sort of emphasized, which is be transparent, set expectations, be clear, and there's still going to be gossip. So you can lessen it, and you can certainly lessen the negative, harmful type of gossip by being clear and upfront and by expecting people to give one another feedback instead of talking behind their backs, but you're not going to completely eliminate it.
When you ask people, you know, whether they gossip or not, and sometimes you ask the audience, many people say that they don't gossip at all. What percentage of people actually gossip?
It depends on what research you look at, but it's usually around 96%. All right. And I think that 4% is lying, because the way work exists and works now is that everything we do is in collaboration with other people. And it would be near impossible. It's hard for me to even imagine someone's job where they wouldn't have to talk about someone who wasn't present. Whether it's in an email, a conversation, a Slack message, we have to speak about our colleagues in order to get work done.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong. My guest is Amy Gallo, workplace expert, contributing editor at the Harvard Business Review. And with us also is James Glenslade Yeats, a research fellow in management at the Auckland University of Technology. He spent time reviewing the literature and research on gossip. Hi, James.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Is there anything you would add to Amy's definition of gossip?
There was like a recent systematic review on, I don't know, hundreds of definitions from across the literature. And those two characteristics that Amy was talking about, it's about another person who's not present, are the most common. And so they're the pillars. But I also think if you do define gossip like that, to some degree, it sanitizes it. And I mean, that's probably what you want to do if you want to remove the stigma around this term. But then the risk of that, in my view, is that you end up talking about something that is not quite what the general public and non-academics think you're talking about. So the two kind of features that I'd add to Amy's definition would be it contains an evaluative component, either positive or negative. It goes beyond like the neutral gossip, which she was talking about, but then also an informal element. If something's published in a company newsletter or it's announced by like a manager or a leader in front of all the employees, it's probably not going to be considered gossip because it's in the official like recorded communication channels. So in terms of the definition that I would add, and I know that these people who conducted the systematic review, they had like primary features of gossip, which is what Amy said, but they also had the evaluative side as a kind of a secondary thing and also the informal aspect.
So, and you mentioned this literature review that you did of gossip research. What are some of the critical findings that you want us to know about?
So in the literature review, I developed this idea of the workplace gossip paradox. Gossip is this kind of socially constructed communication category. It's basically a label that people put on certain types of talk. And typically, it's the four features we just talked about. But it's interesting that in organizations, gossip has this paradoxical status. And the way I describe that is it's sometimes it's referred to as the inside word. because it's outside those official communication channels. It's therefore not sanitized by the organization. It's not kind of airbrushed for like PR purposes. You can really trust this information because it's what's really going on. But at the same time, it's dismissed as just gossip. It's malicious tales. It's people just with nothing better to do talking, and therefore that information is not reliable. And so I guess the argument I developed about this workplace gossip, it comes down to power structures and organizations work, how they're structured in terms of who has the power to define what is legitimate information, right? The people in power, to some degree, they can legitimize this information of gossip as being the inside word by taking it seriously, listening to it, but they can also delegitimize it or undermine its credibility by saying that's just gossip. And so I think there's interesting power dynamics in organizations where something may be common knowledge. Like in my article, I talk about some situations like healthcare organizations where misconduct by senior professionals was widely known about. It was common knowledge, but it was also unofficial knowledge. It was like it's like a secret hiding in that everyone knows about, cannot be acknowledged.
Yeah. Amy, this coincides so beautifully with your work.
Yeah. And you're making me think, James, of an organization that I'm currently working with that is going through a big strategic change. They've rolled out this new strategic initiative. It's required cutting a bunch of other initiatives. And there is a lot of chatter in the organization about whether the strategic initiative, the new direction, is valid, clear, something they can get behind. The leaders in the organization keep telling me, people don't like change, we expected this, it's just gossip, it'll settle down. Everyone else is saying, nope, strategy is really unclear. And so that power dynamic you're talking about, I believe the chatter. I don't think the strategic direction is clear. And yet the people with the official formal communications keep dismissing it as unhelpful. And I think this is an example where if leaders had a better understanding of why people gossip, how it sort of spreads, what's the motivation, that they would maybe heed what they're hearing a little bit better and maybe go back to the drawing board or actually just figure out how to communicate their direction a little bit more clearly so they could cut out some of that chatter.
Yeah. When you were talking earlier, Amy, I was thinking about what you were saying about, you know, gossip in itself is neither good nor bad, destructive nor beneficial. What it really is, in some ways, is a mirror of the organization's culture and how things are being handled. Like if you go into an organization and there's a lot of very kind of negative feeling, toxic kind of gossip, it's not really the gossip that's to blame, although it may become entrenched in like the organization's norms that gossiping negatively is okay and it's just what's done. But to some extent, it might just be because there's not the kind of open communication channels that are necessary to kind of bring those issues out into the open. Whereas if you go into an organization and everyone's saying largely they're using gossip as sense-making, as you talked about, to work out what stuff means, there's a lot of positive gossip, boosting people up behind their backs, that kind of thing, is the mirror of that culture. It's just painting a much nicer picture of the organization.
Yeah, it's a symptom, right? It's a symptom. And that's why I think it's laughable when managers or leaders want to ban gossip. And my advice always wants to be, no, listen to it, right? And don't be afraid to consider whether it's true, because it's often threatening to them.
Yeah. So let's go into how we handle gossip, okay, both. So, James, let's say a colleague's just told me something really negative about their manager. How should I handle that?
I mean, that's the kind of, like, this is probably the kind of question as a researcher I don't have a solution to that. You know, we tend to sit on the fence. But I mean,
what would the research say, James?
My personal view is to just like be careful before you either kind of validate it in the eyes of the other person. And definitely before you tell anyone else, one thing I found in some of my empirical research, I did this review that you mentioned, but I've also done empirical research, is that the idea of venting through gossip that implies that you're letting off steam and that like those negative emotions that you're feeling are going to dissipate afterwards. But actually what I found is that if the person listening to you validates those emotions, they're actually just going to get stronger.
Yeah.
And so say you find your manager annoying on one day, if you go and gossip about it and the person agrees with you and they say, oh yeah, they're so annoying, it's just going to get harder and harder to get on with that manager, because that gossip cycle works as social validation, and it just kind of entrenches the emotions and that kind of thing. So if someone's telling you something really negative about the manager and you perceive that they are really just venting because this person hasn't done anything serious, they've just been a bit annoying, maybe think about diffusing those negative emotions rather than reinforcing them.
Yeah. Amy, anything to add?
I mean, yes, exactly. I think James has really nailed it, because there's two questions I like to ask if someone comes to me with gossip. One is, have you told them? Meaning, have you talked to that person directly? The answer is probably going to be no, and no way would I ever do that, especially if it's their manager, there's power dynamics. But at least it normalizes, I believe we give direct feedback here. And you get a little bit more information about why they might be telling you instead of that person. So you get into that a little bit of the intention that James was talking about. The second question is, what do you think you could do about it? So turning the complaint, to James's point, the venting, which can often entrench the view, into proactive behavior and solution building. And if you disagree with the gossip, I think this is really important, say so. Don't just say nod and go, oh gosh, yeah, oof, yeah, that's tough. Say, oh, that's so interesting. I see them as someone who's quite direct. I wonder why we have a different experience, right? The key is to really bring curiosity to the conversation and a problem-solving mindset.
Okay, so we've got a regular segment and it's called Try This. So we get you to share a tip for This Working Lifers, and they'll try it this week and then they'll experiment and then give us some feedback, okay? Yeah. So, James, we'll start with you. What's one tip you'd like us to try this week when it comes to handling gossip at work?
I'm going to go back to what I said earlier about trying to diffuse the venting situation. When someone does come to you with something negative, ask yourself, is this frustration? Is this warranted? So this time, this week, if that person comes and initiates that cycle with you, maybe pause for a moment before agreeing and just say, have we got to the point in this relationship with this person who's gossiping to me, we're automatically agreeing with each other about, you know, the gossip target, person C. If you are in that kind of situation, just take a moment, step back and say, maybe I should just bring some curiosity, like Amy said, to this situation this time, and maybe stop that vicious gossip cycle of negativity.
Amy, what's your tip for harnessing the power of gossip at work?
Well, James stole my tip, but which I think is really important to do, right, is to ask that question of how can this be a more productive conversation? So I'll go a different tactic, which is to help destigmatize gossip. Try spreading a positive piece of gossip in your organization. If you see someone do something great, tell other people about it. If you believe someone deserves more credit for something, give them credit. And just see what the influence is on the team structure or on the team morale and what influence it has on you and your relationships.
Try this and report back to me by following me on LinkedIn and commenting on our Gossip at Work LinkedIn post. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Lisa. And thank you, James.
Thanks very much, Lisa and Amy.
Amy Gallo is a workplace expert and contributing editor of the Harvard Business Review. Her latest book is called Getting Along, How to Work with Anyone. And James Glenslade Yeats is a research fellow in management at Auckland University of Technology. Before you go, I want to tell you about Radio National's Top 100 Books Countdown. We're kicking off this inaugural year with the Top 100 Books of the 21st Century. There's over 1,000 books on the voting site for inspiration, but if your favourite book isn't there, you can add in a book manually. You can vote on the ABC Radio National website or the ABC Listen app. I'll reveal my votes this week. Thanks for listening to ABC Radio National's This Working Life. I've been speaking to you from the lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people in Boolloo, Perth. Thanks to producer Michelle Weeks and sound engineer Tim James, who are working on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our podcast and share it with a colleague or a friend. You can do that on the ABC Listen app or anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm Lisa Leong. And until next time, work it, baby.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.